Our scripture text this evening is Luke chapter 18, looking at another parable. We've been looking at several parables on Sunday evenings. Luke chapter 18, the first eight verses. One you're probably familiar with, about the widow who continued to pester and bother the judge until he gave her her wish, and how we ought not ourselves to be faint-hearted and in our prayers, but constant and continuous in our prayers. Luke chapter 18, the first eight verses. And he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And may God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess we have before us the very Word of God, and we confess that without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the teachings of God. May Thy Spirit help us to grasp the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ here as we have it written. In His name we pray. Amen. On Sunday evenings, we've been looking at the parables from what we call a preterist perspective, interpreted in the light of the destruction of Jerusalem. One of the points I think we need to make about parables, that parables were never given as independent entities. There's always a context to the parables. And it's very easy to think of a parable and think of some moral story that is teaching. But oftentimes if we do that, we can very easily miss the whole point or miss much of the point. This is a parable about prayer, and interpreting it in context doesn't nullify the basic principles. But I think it does help us to understand better the parable as Jesus told it and for the purpose of the parable. Remember, as these parables were given, they were given sometimes to the Jews and sometimes only to His disciples. But remember, especially in Luke chapter 18, basically we're moving toward Jerusalem. We're moving toward the death of Christ by the Jews. And also, all of this is done in light that Jesus will return, not physically, but in judgment to judge the Jewish people. And Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. That's the context of the parables. And when Jesus speaks these parables, He's speaking of them in that kind of a context. And so when we go to the parables, we should always go to the parables realizing that they're not simply independent moral stories, but they have a context relating to the death of Christ and also to Christ returning to bring judgment upon the Jewish people who rejected Him, especially in A.D. 7. AD 70, the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed. That's the context. which helps us to understand some of the things which we read in the parables. For example, in the parable we just read, the verse 8, he says, "I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That's not an easy verse. But I think really understanding it in the context of the destruction of Jerusalem and the coming of Christ, referring to the destruction of Jerusalem in judgment, may help us understand what Jesus is talking about here. So, remember that as you study parables. Always read what goes before and what goes after. And remember that, generally speaking, they are given in the context of the coming death of Christ by the Jews and the eventual judgment of the Jews by Christ himself for the terrible crime of putting him to death. So, in verse 1, he was telling them a parable to show them. Now, that's fortunate, or that's a blessing for us, that Jesus here tells us the purpose of the parable. He doesn't always do that. Sometimes he just simply tells a parable. Sometimes he interprets the parable, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he leaves it to the modern preacher or Matthew Henry or somebody to help us to understand what does this mean. But here we're very blessed in that he tells us to show them, or to show, verse 1, that at all times, not just sometimes, but at every time, constantly, throughout all your life, we are to be faithful in prayer and not to lose heart. At all times, we ought to pray. It is, in some sense, a moral obligation. It's an expectation that we not lose heart. And I think the understanding of Christ here is that we will tend to lose heart. Else he wouldn't have said it. It's kind of like Jesus is saying, "I know you." You're going to say, eventually, you're going to say, "I quit. There's just no use." And so, therefore, he tells them not to lose heart. The answer may be delayed. It may tend to make you doubt, but God will answer your prayers. Now, that's kind of a general principle of the parable. But we're going to look at the application here in terms of who he's talking about and why he's saying these things. Now, notice first of all that the issue here is justice. In verse 2, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And she kept coming to him. And if you look on down to verse 8, I think that's what I was looking for. And I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. So what are these people praying for? They're praying for justice. Or what is this widow asking for? Or what is he expecting the people to be praying for? Justice. That's what they're praying for. Now, that does not mean that we don't need to be constant and in other areas of prayer. For example, in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us our daily bread. Help us with temptation. Forgive us of our sins. We pray for the sick. Thy will be done," and so forth. But the issue here is the issue of justice. There's unfairness in the world, and we are the victim of injustice. That's the whole point, you see. Now, as we're going to see here shortly, I think he's talking about, as we'll see, he's talking about the elect. Again, as we'll see here shortly, in one of the verses, we'll get to it in a minute. But anyway, he's talking about the, verse 7. And now, will not God bring about justice for his elect? Okay. The application is justice and justice for the elect. And we should continue to pray for that and never give up our praying. That's the application in the parable. Now, again, it can be expanded to praying for all different types of things, but that's not the issue here. The issue is in the context of Jesus going to the cross, Jesus dying, the disciples are going to be persecuted by the Jews, and they're going to pray that God would bring justice against their enemies. And they're going to become faint-hearted. They're going to want to quit. And Jesus is saying, don't quit. Because in verse 8, I tell you, he will bring about justice for them. And what's the word there? Quickly. Remember the book of Revelation? I am coming quickly. You see, that's the whole point of this parable. This is not simply a parable about old widow woman who continually pester a judge so that he answers her. And it's not particularly a parable about all the different prayers we may pray that we continually pester God until he answers us. It's a prayer about the disciples and the elect of God who are going to be persecuted by people who hate God. They're going to pray for justice from God, and God says, don't lose heart, because I'm coming quickly. And there will be justice. You see the difference in taking a parable out of its context and saying, well, this is a prayer that we should just never lose heart about anything we pray for, and we'll get it. That's not what it is. It's a prayer about the elect of God being persecuted unjustly by God's enemies, and they pray for deliverance, and God says, don't lose heart, because it's coming when? Quickly. Not going to be a long time. Coming quickly. AD 70, if I could interpret it for you, is coming quickly. And Jerusalem will be destroyed. And there will be justice. So, that's pretty much the purpose of the parable. Let me tell you something else about this passage. Verse 3, there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. Okay, if you have a King James Version, it says something about vengeance or avenge my opponent, which is the better translation. Give me legal protection is a lot softer. I call it almost a feminization of the translation. The word there is avenge. It's the same word that's used, the same Greek word that's used in Romans chapter 13. And I'll read that real quickly. Romans chapter 13, verse 4. The civil magistrate is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now the word there in the Greek for avenger is the same as the word here used in Luke, but it's translated in Luke, give me legal protection for my opponent. Now I love the New American Standard Version, but I think they blew it there. That's not what it says. You see, giving me legal protection for my opponent seems kind of like put it put a put a fence around me and don't let them touch me. But this lady in the parable is not praying for a fence around herself. She's praying for vengeance. Lord, take vengeance on those who are doing an injustice to me. And I'm not sure why they translated it that way. The King James Version got it right. I'm not sure. I can't judge the translators. I can't judge the people who are behind this particular translation, which I love and it's become my translation. But I can't accept that in that translation. Maybe because it's an older widow woman. They think, you know, a widow woman would not pray for vengeance. Well, I guess I've seen some widow women, I think, who would pray for vengeance. You know, the woman who's been robbed and takes her umbrella and starts beating the robber. She would pray for vengeance. You see, vengeance is not just protection, but vengeance is saying to God, punish those who are bringing injustice upon me. But for some reason, they didn't like that particular connotation, and so they use this really kind of a nice translation that the woman says to the judge, give me legal protection from my opponent. Doesn't that sound kind of nice? Just give me legal protection from my opponent. It's much nicer than what? Lord, take vengeance on my enemies. Because you are a judge. It says in Romans 13 that God takes vengeance upon those who disobey His law. And therefore, it's the civil magistrate's responsibility to take vengeance. And she's dealing with a judge here. So anyway, that's you know, it's just one of the problems I have with some of the modern translations. I think they really so softened this down that they took away really the power of the word that's in the Greek. She's asking for vengeance. Not only probably restoration, maybe, of what was stolen, it doesn't tell us what the crime was, but she's asking that it be stopped, and she's asking for justice, which means that the enemies must be punished. Okay? The character of the judge, verse 2, he did not fear God and he did not respect men. Capricious, Matthew Henry says, probably bribe-taking. He takes bribes. How much money you got? I'll decide for you. $1,000? $10,000? Give me the money. I'll decide for you. You see, that's the way some judges are. He didn't fear God. He didn't fear man. He was probably a bribe-taking judge, self-centered judge. Capricious. You never knew what he was going to decide. He wasn't interested in justice. He was interested in feathering himself and his own career and making money. That's what an unjust judge is. Verse 3, it tells us that she kept coming. She kept coming and coming and coming. Until verse 4 and 5, it tells us that she wore him out. I guess I like the translations here pretty well. Verse 4, for he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. In other words, I will avenge. Again, that's the word in the Greek. I will avenge her. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. She pesters me so much. She bothers me so much. I'll give her what she wants just to get rid of her. Now, he had the wrong motives, but he had the right result. Sometimes you can wear people down. I think modern marketing is kind of based upon wearing people down. Sometimes we get marketing calls on the telephone, and when Brenda's home, she take those calls, and you know how they can be. You know, you need this, and you need that, and just on and on and on, and she's kind of there getting feeling more guilty and more guilty and more guilty, and she's looking at me, and I said, Brenda, give me the phone. Okay, I take the phone. I said, sir, we're not interested. Hang up. We're not going to be pestered like this. And if you call back again, we're going to hang up again. We don't want what you're selling. But I think modern marketing is partially based upon if you keep telling people over and over and over, they'll buy it or they'll do something. If you want a job, some people advise just keep pestering the managers or the human resources department. They'll be so impressed with your persistence, they'll give you a job. Well, that doesn't always work. That doesn't always work. But it worked in this case. It did work in this case. And so in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. And there he's referring back to the parable. Verse 7, now will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? Now notice here persistence, if we're going to be consistent in this parable, this persistence is prayer day and night. Now let me tell you, what's going to make you pray day and night? Persecution, injustice will make you pray day and night. I don't think it's even a matter of having to set a schedule and say, I'm going to keep this schedule because the preacher told me I need to be consistent in prayer. But if you're being treated unjustly and your enemies are getting away with things that are unfair and you're suffering constantly because of this injustice, you're going to pray day and night until God answers you. If the Jews are coming to kill you, the Apostle Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul, was involved in that. Show me the elect, show me the Christians, and we'll kill them. And you're a Christian. And they're hunting you, and they're following you, and they're breaking in your doors, and maybe they're killing your wife and your children, and everybody's dying. And somebody says, well, you need to pray day and night. And you know, you probably would answer, you know what? I'm praying day and night. I'm praying that God will stop this. And so Jesus says in verse 7, if an unrighteous judge will answer the prayers of this widow, will not God answer your prayers, and will he delay long? And the answer is no. He will not delay very long. You pray faithfully, you pray day and night, you pray for justice, and quickly, God will bring justice. Persecution makes people pray hard. Now, where have we seen this before? Praying for justice against the enemies of God. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10. Revelation 6, verse 9. When the Lord broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God, and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging? And here the word is what? It's not giving us legal protection, but avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Now these are the saints who have gone to heaven praying for the saints who are on earth who are suffering persecution. And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for what? For a little while. Just a little while longer. It's coming. It's coming quickly. Because these are my elect. These are my people. They're suffering. They're dying. There's injustice on the earth. They're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. And I'm coming quickly. And if an unrighteous judge will do that, how much more will God, who loves His children like a father loves his children, not come quickly? So, it's the same thing in Revelation. The time is at hand. The time is near. And I think what Jesus is telling His disciples here as He goes to the cross is that, look, times are going to be very, very hard. Jerusalem, the earth, is going to be full of wickedness. And there'll be much persecution and dying and suffering and shed blood. And you're going to pray and pray and pray. And you're going to be tempted to lose heart. But I love you. You're my children. And I'll be there very, very quickly. Jerusalem will be destroyed. And all the enemies of God along with it. God puts a stumbling block in the way of the... The injustice. Think about the injustice. I think about the book of Leviticus, which God said that you shall not put a stumbling block in the front of a blind man, or you shall not curse a man who cannot hear. That's the kind of injustice we're kind of talking about here, is that people taking advantage of a widow woman who has no power, who has no way to fight, she has nobody to fight for her, and she's being mistreated. She's being scourged. She's being treated as one taking all that she has, possibly. She has nobody to fight for her. It seems like there's no way out. And God says, I'll be there. And then lastly, in that context, we look at verse 8. And He says, I tell you, He will bring about justice for them quickly. Now, again, as I preach through Revelation, as I look to Christ going to the cross, as I look to the suffering of the saints in the early church, when I read that, I just cannot get out of my mind the picture of the destruction of Jerusalem. That's what comes to my mind. And then that last part of that verse, it's still a little difficult. I'm not saying that I have the final word here. But however, the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Now, let me give you one possible interpretation of that. When the Son of Man comes in judgment upon Jerusalem, how much faith is He going to find on earth? How much faith is He going to find in Jerusalem? And I think it's a rhetorical question, and I think the answer is probably almost nothing. And if He does find it, He'll find it among His elect. But generally speaking, there will be no faith except for His elect. It will be a faithless city, a faithless people, a rejected people. And the answer is, He's not going to find faith on the earth. You're going to suffer persecution. And therefore, you need to pray and pray and pray that He will come quickly and bring vengeance against your enemies. That's what's ahead of you. Disciples, Christian, God's elect, that's what's coming. But when He comes, He will bring destruction because of a lack of faith on the part of the Jews and the part of the people who were called to be His elect. And here the elect is used in terms of of not the nation Israel, but in terms of the individuals, Jews and Gentiles, who were truly converted by the power of God. So, I think, as you read this parable, and as you've heard the parable over and over and over, our typical response is, well, we need to pray and not lose heart. And you know, I think that's right. I don't have any problem with that. But if that's all you get out of it, you've missed the point. The point is that in the future, for you disciples, there's not going to be any faith on earth. The Jews have rejected Christ. You will be persecuted. There will be unfairness. You'll be treated unfairly. They'll take your jobs. They'll take your money. They'll take your life. But you pray. You pray day and night. And don't give up praying. And I'll come and bring judgment upon the apostate Jews. And you know how quickly I'll come? I'll come very, very quickly. Now, all I'm saying is here tonight is that when you, I guess I'm saying more than this, but when you read these parables, don't read them as simple moral stories, but read them in the context in which they were written. Jesus going to the cross, the persecution of the people of God, and finally the judgment of God. If we pray for justice, God will bring justice. You know, that's what Christians mostly pray for. We pray for a lot of things, but we mostly pray for justice, that God would nullify injustice on the earth. And if those days ever come to you, don't lose heart, because the Avenger will come and make things right. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you will help us to understand the parables. Help us to understand the general principle, but help us to understand the context. Help us to understand that God is an avenger who brings justice against those who persecute the elect of God. And if we pray day and night, if we pray and not lose heart, He will do it quickly. O Lord, give us this hope, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.